Lesson number 13, Christ as all in all. Our key text calls attention to the fact that Christ is all and in all. He is all what? Ideals, goals, power, graciousness, almightiness. He is the sacrifice. He is the intercessor. He is the judge. He is the witness. He is the lawgiver. He is the advocate. I am what I am. He is all the things He is in their fullness. And He is in all. Now, that's the question. Is He? Is He in my heart? Is He in your heart? Is He in Satan's heart? So what our key verse is calling attention to is the ideal that Christ is and the ideal that He is ready to become. Spiritual, physical, mental, social. Part number one. He is enthroned as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is at the right hand of the Majesty on high. He is in heaven with God on His throne. He is anointed, prophet, priest, potentate. He has got everything. He has got all power given to me in heaven and earth. Jesus Christ is all. He emptied Himself of all. He has now been filled with all. He handed over His divine prerogatives to His Father, and His Father has handed back to Him those prerogatives that He can have that fit in with His humanity, with His limitations. So Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This wonder of Christ He is ready to transfer into my heart. If you love me, my Father and I and Spirit will come into you and make our abode in you. So first of all, He has all power. He is restored to the Trinity. Now He wants to be in us. Part number two. Branches of the vine. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, bringeth forth much fruit. A branch is useless, severed from the tree. The moment the relationship has been fractured, cut asunder, the vital energizing sap from the tree or the vine immediately stops flowing into the branch. And immediately the branch begins to wither. Leaves lose their luster and strength and wither. The wood dies, and the branch is useless for bearing fruit. The secret of fruit bearing is continuous maintenance of a relationship with the vine. He that abideth in me. That must be maintained. The force of Christ's word is never ceasing. You remain there, never ceasing. There is never a break in the flow of vitality from the vine into the branch. Then, he says, you will bear fruit. Now, the vine doesn't bear fruit at all seasons. It has a season. So Christ here is calling attention to the fact that first we must abide in Him, and then as we remain in Him, in His good time, seed time and harvest, summer and winter, will not cease. In due course, we will bear the peaceable fruits of righteousness. And Christ died on the cross that He might abide in you and you in him. This personal relationship in him must be maintained. Now, how do we do that? First of all, we get to know Jesus Christ only from the Scriptures. I might tell you something about Christ, but what I tell you comes from the Scriptures. Nobody knows anything about Christ apart from the inspired revelations. Therefore, if I am going to learn about Christ, I must become familiar with every word that describes him. So Bible study is the first prerequisite in order to discover Christ. Personal Bible study. Now, I don't want to do this. I will never want to do this, except the Father which draw me, send the Holy Spirit to me. So the Holy Spirit is working here to awaken in my mind an interest in the Scriptures, even before I had it. He's trying to convince every man everywhere. True light lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And so the Spirit induces me to read. Then as I am reading, I should pray that the Spirit might induce me to understand how much of what I read applies to me particularly. And this is the prayer. So Spirit invited, Spirit indicted, I read the Spirit-inspired book. It reveals to me the Spirit-inspired Savior and induces in me a prayer. Lord, make me like this. Lord, keep me from doing this. And my heart's yearning through all my Bible study is the cry of the Greeks. I would see Jesus. Part number 3. In these last days, God has entrusted to his people the proclamation of the three angels' messages. The first one, Christ is judge. His judgment is come. Christ is creator. Worship the creator. Part number 2. Don't accept Babylon. Reject Babylon. Babylon is trying to poison you with the cup that it's intoxicatingly giving to the world. Have nothing to do with it. Its fall is guaranteed. Third angel's message has 2 parts. The sign of Babylon, the mark of the beast, is going to mark those who rebel against those who have the seal of God. The seal of God is settling into the truth. It's righteousness by faith. And when the third angel's message is finished proclaiming its word, heaven identifies, here is the patience of the saints, Psalm 55, verse 5, they that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. A saint is a man or a woman who has entered the new covenant relationship with Jesus Christ by means of the sacrifice on Calvary. Here is the patience of the saints, they that keep the commandments of God. That is, they restore the love relationships through the faith of Jesus, the power that comes to them. So the final message to be given to the world is the message of the three angels. Part number 4, this takes place at a time of world crisis. And Jesus assures his disciples that I am with you always, even to the end of the world. He is the author and the ender, the author and the finisher. I will never leave you. I am with you always. And because he completes every task he does, he will help us to complete the task he has set us of proclaiming the three messages to the ends of the earth. And he does this by infusing his people with the Holy Spirit, the early and the latter rain. You should read Joel 2:23 margin. The rains are the teachers of righteousness. Now, the Hebrews called the rain the teacher because the rain says, now has come the season for the planting. It's a teacher. And then when the latter rain falls, it says, now is the time when the harvest, the fruit, will burst out perfectly ripe. Harvest is coming. So the early and the latter rain are teachers of righteousness that prepare and ripen the field of the world for the harvest and the great harvester. Jesus never leaves us. In the midst of the furnace, he is there. In the midst of the candlestick, he walks. In the midst of the crisis, he will never, never leave you, he says. Part number 5, Heaven in Christ. When he says, for the last time, it is finished, John sees a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. And then he is taken on a guided tour of that city. He is shown its foundations, bejeweled and apostle inscribed. He is shown its walls, jasper and towering to the heavens. He is shown its gates, pearly and tribal inscribed. He is shown its streets and its fruits and its mansions. But then he looks and sees no temple in it. There are some who say, well, chapter 11, he sees the temple of God open. Chapter 15, he sees the temple. Now he says there's no temple. One of the secrets of understanding the Bible is time and place. Revelation 21 is in eternity. And the place is the new heavens and the new earth. In the new Jerusalem, there is no temple that John could see. As I've thought about that, I have thought about another statement. The people of God have to stand through the last days, and they don't have an intercessor. Why don't they? Because they don't need one. The intercessor has finished his work. He has said, Father, my blood, I will that these be with me where I am. He has made the decree. He that is righteous will be righteous still, and he that is holy will be holy still. They don't need any more. He has finished his work. And as John sees no temple, I've come to the conclusion that they don't need it anymore. Its work is finished. Now, where it's going to be kept, if it's going to be kept, we are not told. But what John is saying there is that the intercession, the mediation, the work of Jesus Christ for salvation is complete. Mankind is saved. Mankind is safe. Mankind is in the presence of God. They are basking in the light of glory. They are in the presence of the Trinity. There is no more sin, there is no more temptation, there is no more evil in the world. They don't need an intercessor. They don't need a sacrifice anymore. They don't need the sanctuary anymore. And there is no temple therein. Why? Because Jesus Christ is all and in all. In the sanctuary, he was the Lamb. He was the light, he was the bread, he was the intercessor, he was the priest, he was the veil. He was the law, he was the manna. He was all and in all. Now we have him in the fullness of perfect revelation in the presence of God. All the allegories, all the purposes, all the types, all the symbols, everything that illustrated now focuses upon him. And the light that has been flickering in the darkness of the earth, we have seen it gleaming in the Shekinah in the sanctuary. We have watched it illuminate the pages of sacred history. We have seen it flash from the man of Nazareth and the countenance of the man of Calvary. We have seen through a glass darkly that glory. But then we shall see it in all its fullness as we see him face to face, and realize that everything that has made possible our journey from darkness to light is Christ, from Christ, through Christ, and in Christ. We prepare for that day by living in Christ today. And the force of the word in Greek, is a personal relationship with. And as we finish lessons, let it be with the question, probing our hearts, what is my personal relationship with Jesus Christ? How is it each moment of every day?
This has been another classic sermon from the Archive of American Christian Ministries. This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette or reel-to-reel in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright, American Christian Ministries. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistries.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There is no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with our speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.